Session number 12325, René Kisré, Reel 1.
Kisré, Reel 1. If I could ask you first, Captain Kisré, about your background, whereabouts you were born, and the sort of family you came from, and your lifestyle. This would be, of course, before the war.
Yes, I will tell you this very easy. I was born in Tunis. In 14th of January 1903, and when I was 7 years old in 1910, I saw my grandmother putting small flags I have never seen before on the wall. I asked what it was. She told me that is, today is the coronation of our king. It was in 1910. It was the coronation of George V. I was amazed. I couldn't understand. We speak French. I thought we were French. I was 7 years old. Then she told me the whole story. She told me, your great-grandfather was born near Glasgow. His name was, I can't remember if it was Mimmo or Mimmi. He went to Gibraltar. And your grandfather, Ely, was born in Gibraltar with British nationality. I am talking about my grandmother. I am from Spanish origin, but I was born in Gibraltar. My name is Castro. I married your grandfather. From there, we went to Tunisia, and we lived in a certain country in the center of Tunisia, which is known as Kesra. Kesra means East Anglia, yeah. And in Arabic, when somebody comes from a country, it finishes by E. Kisra, oui. Beja, oui. Sfax, E. And that they change their name on Kisra, oui, because it came from Kisra. Then they went to Malta. My father was born in Malta, in Sliema, with the name of Kisraoui. He went to Tunisia and married my mother, who was French, from Perpignan, southwest of France, near Barcelona, near Spain. And they married. I was born there myself, and four of my sisters were born there. I studied in Lycée Carnot, and in 1919, I was about 16 years old. I attended the armistice parade in Tunis. It was, a very nice parade. And when we left the parade, I saw some young French student running behind people and kicking them. I was a member. It was the preparation militaire, military preparation. I was a member of that at school. I was part of that. I was even sergeant. But I wasn't with them. And our coach was a sergeant of the Chasseurs d'Afrique, which is French arm. I couldn't understand what happened. I heard them shouting, "Sale embusqué," that means dodger. The people they were behind, they are running behind, were old people dressed in Arabic, and the running, they were Tunisian. They had nothing to do with France, and they had nothing. I left them. I went, going back on my home. I saw some other, the same kind of people, not the same one, but same young student, fighting against military people. I couldn't understand. Then one told me, no, they are Jew. And they were military who took part at the war, and they had been beaten by the others because they were Jew. Because the jingoism, French at that time, I have suffered a lot already at school. Sale anglais. I was, since my mother told me that, I became more British than anyone. I was terribly patriot English. I wanted England, everything English was perfect. And I was fighting all the time with my friends, Sal Anglais, Sal Tommy, Perfide Albion. Then I grew up like this. When the war started, I wanted absolutely to join. I was married, I had already my two daughters. First of all, you must know that I was in a very well-off family. My father was a very rich man. I have studied first in Lycée Carnot, and later I was finished my study in France. And when I finished my study, I came back to Tunis and joined my father. My father had what they call a comptoir. That means he imported merchandise from England, Italy, and France to be sold to only wholesalers, a whole Tunisia. Yeah. But the most profitable sideline I had was to buy buildings, refurbish them, and resell them. And when the war broke out, I wanted absolutely to go. And then I went to the British Consul. British Consul, there was a retired naval officer who was there helping the consul. He told me, I lost it, unfortunately. I had the letter, I don't know where it is. He told me, you have instruction from London. It's a funny war, it will finish in a few weeks. And after that, he talked to me in English. I couldn't understand one word. He told me, you see, how can you join if you can't understand if your officer give you an order? I was really desperate. Then I wrote to the war office. I received from the war office a small printed card saying, we have received your letter, further notice. I waited 2-3 weeks, no news. In the meantime, I heard that there were three other of British nationality who were not English, born in Tunis, Maltese and like me, wanted to join. I got in touch with them. I gave him an appointment. I told them what happened to me with the war office. Then it has been decided that I will write another letter to the war office, signed by all four, for the same thing, explaining that we want to join and we cannot, because nobody were allowed to leave Tunisia because the harbor was out of bound for the military. No civilian leave Tunisia. Then we decided that I sent the letter. We received the same thing again. My three other friends were very discouraged. One day, there was a funny man, very well known because he was very drunk all the time. He told me, I heard, you fool, you want to take part of this one? Yes. He told me, you are waiting for your visa. He said, yes, I have to have two visas. One military one and civilian one. He told me, if you give me 400 francs, I'll bring you the military one. I couldn't believe him. Is it possible? He told me, look, you follow my instruction, and you give me 400 francs once you have your visa stamped in your passport. Then I called my friends. I told them, the three others. Two didn't want to come. One followed me. Then I went to meet this chap. Then he told me, you go to the third floor, room number so and so. You go there. There is a captain. Don't say a word. Give your passport. That's all. Still, I couldn't believe it. We went upstairs. He went to the room, there was a captain, we gave him that's you, right. Tac, 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 bon voyage. I couldn't believe it. We came down, we gave him 400 francs each. We knew 400 francs in 1939 was something, you know. Then I went to see my friend again. You see, now it was a question of the civilian one. My friend got it very easily because his mother was British and his father was British, Maltese, both of them. Then they got the visa. But myself, when I went there, the commissaire told me, you are born in Tunisia, French protectorate. Your mother was French, you are French. I had the paper with me. I had to went to the British consul who gave me a paper saying that I was registered as British because at the age of 18, I didn't relinquish my nationality. He didn't accept that. I had to go to the court, and they have here with me a paper signed by the court saying that not having relinquished my nationality at 18, I am British. In spite of that, he didn't want to. Then I didn't want to give up. I decided to go and see him again. I went there. The secretary told me he's very busy with the VIP man. I said, I wait. The door opened a few minutes later. Who was the VIP man? A very, very close friend of mine, who was a big man there. He was a magistrate and very, very, but he was very close. You know, I was in a high society there. He told me, what are you doing here, René? Told him, you know, butter couldn't melt in my mouth. I told him, you know, it's my fault. I came for my visa. I want to tell you. The commissioner was furious. Then the commissioner said, his mother was born in France. He's born in French protectorate. Told me, yes, but you see, I brought you paper. I showed my friend. This is from the British Council. This is from the tribunal with the stamp. Then he told him, I can't understand you. He wants to fight for his country. You must. He was furious. If really I could kill somebody, he would have killed me. He told me, give me your passport. Give me a visa. Three days later, we managed with my friend to go. You know, the harbor was closed. Nobody could accept, but we have the permission to go. We had a fantastic send-off by all friends. People crying, kissing. When we arrived in Marseille, I went to the British Consul. I told him, we want to join the British Army. He told me, you can't do nothing here. You have to go to Paris. We went to Paris. In Paris, I went to the British embassy there. They told me, we can't do nothing here. You have to go to England. We went to England. We lived at YMCA at Oxford Circus or Tottenham Court Road. I can't remember. You know, I knew already before, I knew a certain Rothschild who was in Tunis, spent a few weeks in Tunis, and we became friendly. I was in business with the nephew of the undersecretary, Van Sittard, a very well-known name at that time.
Van Sittard, yes.
He was a member of the Frigidaire, and I was with Frigidaire myself. I forgot to tell you that.
I didn't understand that, sorry. Mm. You were a member of...
Frigidaire, I tell you.
Yes.
You see, when I was with my father, at a certain period, General Motors from United States wanted to open a branch of industrial refrigeration in Tunisia.
Oh, I see, yes.
And a group of Tunisian or French formed a company called Frigidaire. My father was very wealthy, contributed, he invested. Then he told me, you must join them. Then I went to Paris, I followed a course for about 2 months or 3 months in a course, and I became the sales manager from the...
So I understand the connection with Van Sittard.
Yes, Van Sittard was Frigidaire. Yes. And I had a friend who was liaison officer between Italy and England. His name was Professor Cardozo. He gave me a recommendation for a certain Major General Fulks. I went to all enlistment office. Nobody wanted us. Neither my friend. We couldn't speak English. We were too old. They were looking for people having some radio or doctors or something. We were businessmen. Then at last, I was desperate. I telephoned to Van Sittard, to Rothschild, and Major General Fulks. I gave him an appointment at Lyons Tottenham Court Road. I introduced them to each other. I introduced myself, except the general didn't know me, but the other knew me. I told them the story. They laughed at me. Told me, well, the war will finish in a few weeks. I left your family. I wanted to take part of the war. I don't want to see what happened in 1919. What I saw, it was terrible. I was traumatized by that. Then Major General Fuchs told me, I know Colonel Pigott, who is the head of the enlistment in England. I will get in touch with him and they'll let you know. The following day, Major General Fuchs telephoned me. He told me, Colonel Pigott is waiting for you. We went there at Scotland Yard. His office was at Scotland Yard. The Bobby was outside, saw me already there before. And he took us like people. He couldn't understand. He told them, Pigott, wait for me. Pigott, it's impossible. I have insisted. At last, he telephoned and said, yes, we are waiting for him. He couldn't believe it. He took me for a coolie or something. Then when I saw, he was a wonderful man, this Colonel Pigott, very nice. He spoke French with me, and he asked me many questions, why I wanted, and I explained to him what I am telling you now. Then he told me the best thing to do is I send you both to Liverpool for a certain period, starting to learn, and you will get a commission as a translator and interpreter. We told him, no, we came here to fight, not to be in an office. He told me, all right then. He told me, you go tomorrow. I can't remember, I think he gave us a paper to go the following day to Acton, where I have already been, we have been refused. We went to Acton, and in fact, they were waiting for me. I went through the medical examination, and they told me to go to Bulford. At that time, I was very handsome. I had monocle and a stick and, spats. I was very, very... We took the train at Paddington, and we arrived at Bulford. When we arrived at Bulford, I thought, we are going to Beacon Barracks. And the station master told me, no, left, you right, you're left. I couldn't understand one more. But what I understood was, you follow the railway tracks. And it was snowing. We started like that. We arrived a certain time. My hat completely here, my necktie here, my valise on my... It was terrible, sweating like hell. And suddenly there, behind a tree, I heard somebody aiming at the soldier. Well, ho, 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 ho. I carried on. I saw he was really firing at me. I stopped. I told him, military, showed him the paper I had. I didn't move. He shouted, corporal, corporal. And six people with the corporal came. And we entered in the barracks with... Soldier on the right, soldier on the left, the corporal in front, my valise here, and walking like a spy. It was terrible. When we arrived there, nobody could understand me, and one told me, this evening at 12, there is an officer who comes who speaks French. Ah, we are saved. 12, young officer, very tall, very handsome, must be 19 years old, very young. I told him, do you speak French? And he said, oui, je. My God. That means he can't speak French. Then he told me, all right, I will do something for you. We spent the night in a small room. It was frozen. We came from Tunisia. It was hot. It was snowing. It was horrible. The following morning, I saw this. I can't forget what happened. While we were absolutely, the cold was, we are frozen. It's the soldiers, half naked, with taking some ice, and at a certain time they brought with them, one of them came with a how do you call it, bucket with water, you know, water, brown water like you see. And they see everybody with, taking with me, it was tea. I was accustomed to tea in a small cup. It was tea, it was the same color, you know. And it was tea. And they took us in a small van for three or four different places. Nobody wanted me. At last, one accepted. It was Beacon Barracks, because they sent me to Kiwi. They sent me with the van. And every time I came there, they asked me questions that's not for here. Go somewhere else. At Beacon, I was taken. And the first day, they told me to go to the quartermaster quarter to take uniform. And it was in an old stable with, you know, for the horses, they are the doors are going out from there. My God, I received, one of the panel was out. I had for about a week, my eyes closed, my face like this, swollen. It was terrible. And it's very funny because I was volunteer for everything. I couldn't understand the volunteer. I didn't know what it was for. Volunteer, I came out. My friend was furious against me, didn't want that. I have been in fire squad. I have been in, at last, one day I offered myself to be sentry. Then at midnight it was my turn. And the barrack was very, and at that time there was the fright about spy, you know, the spy. Then while I was turning, I heard some small noise. Hold who goes there? Nobody answered. Hold who goes I fire. An officer came. I go, advanced to be recognized. I wanted his word, you know, there was a word. He didn't say a word. I was really I wanted to shoot him. He told me, don't be a fool. I am your officer. Then he gave me the word, and he was watching. The following day, everybody was laughing at me. Be careful of the Frenchy. You know, he's very dangerous. And then from there, they sent me to Perumdown. I followed the course because I used to, you know, when I was young, I took part at a race with Bugatti. You know, if you heard the name of the car, Bugatti, and motorcycle. I was a good motorcycle. I used to take part in many, many races. I was a wealthy, you know, a spoiled boy. Then I went through course to drive lorries, vans, and motorcycle. I became dispatch rider. Then one day the colonel called me, told me, you are invited to go to Ashvale near Farnborough. What for? We don't know what. All right. He gave me rations and a paper document allowing me to go by train. And I arrived at Ashvale. I was waiting. A sergeant came in front of me, told him, what are you doing here? Told him, I don't know, I have been asked to come here. I'm waiting to be called. Told him, but you have a funny accent. Where do you come from? I come from Tunis. I speak French, yeah? He spoke French with me very well. He left. 10 minutes later, another sergeant passed. What are you doing here? I told him, I am waiting. I told the same story. Where do I come from? I come from Tunis. Ah, you must speak Italian. He spoke Italian with me. Then they invited me to go to the mess. I wasn't allowed. I was lance corporal only at that time. I wasn't allowed to go with them to the mess. I told him, I don't know, come with us. We had lunch. At a certain time, another sergeant passed. They called him. He come from Tunis. Ah, you speak Arabic. Yes, speak Arabic. But he spoke to me in Arabic. So I couldn't understand all this. After lunch, I was waiting, and they called me at last. They told me, all right, the major wants to see you. I went to see there, the major. I recognized the first sergeant who spoke to me in French. And he told me, you have been recommended to join our forces. I told him, you see, I am of a very good family, and I know these intelligence people kill people, I open safe and all this. Not my kind. I don't know. He was amazed. He told me then, no, I refuse. I don't want it. It's not my job. Then when I went back, the colonel shouted at me, you stupid boy. You have been this honor to take you with the intelligence. That you, I told him, I am of a very good family. I don't do this thing. And it was finished. And then one day, I had been told to go to Bournemouth. It was at the time where it was the rumor that the German will invade south of England. I went to Bournemouth. It was raining. And for the first time, I saw a German plane who landed in a big villa. He landed, crash landed. I saw them. And when I came back, at that time, when we were there, all soldiers were idle. I was idle. I do nothing. We didn't know what to do all day. Then one day, I talking to the, there was a very young second lieutenant. I told him, why don't we do something for, I told him, what would you, I told him, I don't know. We make a place where we could meet. He told me, all right. I do it. I went to, I can't remember the name, a quartermaster, I think. I brought some wood and I make with my, all my, the soldiers, we build in barrack. And in 1963, I went to South Zeal. I saw that barrack still there and still there society.
The sort of social centre.
So, still there. Still the same one.
Yes, where was that?
South Zeal.
South
Zeal. In Wiltshire, I don't know. South Zeal, in the south. And I did, really, I was really doing very good job because I used to go to Exeter, bring back from Nafi a lot of many things, chocolate, all these things. I made arrangement with a small village which name was Ticklepath, just near South Zeal. With the baker who used to prepare for me donuts and all these things. And we had a social place, very nice for all, so did the girl. And later I had enough money from what, because with the Nafi, you sell at a certain price and they gave you a discount. And at a certain time I had even a camera and I was giving films. Really, it was wonderful. And at the same time, in that barracks, I built a small KGB where I was sleeping there while every people was outside. And one morning, I was called by Major, his name was. He told me, you have to go. Why? He told me, you are convoked to go to Weybridge. When? But before that, the pay for the soldier every Friday was a very long thing because everybody used to come, tell you, I want some, because some soldier didn't get all the money at once because they leave some money there to send to a family. And we used to lose whole day in that. Then I told the lieutenant, but why don't we do something else? He told me, why? What? I told him, I have an idea. He told me, all right, you look after that. I was in charge of that. Then what I used to do was, on Thursday, I used to call all soldiers, take their per book, how much do you want this time? How much you want? And when I went to bring the money, I used to count how many half crown, how many pound, and put everything on the table. Then any soldier came, sign, his money was ready for him. And that, as I told you, a few days later, the major told me, you have to go.